traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, low gangsters.
Here we go.
You didn't think I knew that, did you?
I mean, I don't know. You knew Jake was engaged.
What?
You knew Jake was engaged.
Sure.
You congratulated me. You go, congrats. I was like,
well,
for what?
It's not every day, bro. So anyway,
whoa, what the fuck?
If you're a zebra in Africa and you're chilling by murky water, you just don't drink from it.
You can never, never know what's under that water. Murky water scares me. It's actually one of my big fears in life.
Murky water,
Any water where I can't see what's happening.
Yeah, I've always thought about like if somebody would dare me to swim across the Amazon, would you do it? If there was like 100K.
Have you seen the damage a pack of piranhas can do? That's a no for me, Chief.
Murky
and welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing. If you're not subscribed, please hit that button for me so we can be the number one podcast in the world again and again and again. Coming up on 2 million subscribers. That's good. Round of applause. We're awesome. Fuck yeah.
Incredible.
Hey, comment your thoughts below, guys. We liked your comments on the last episode.
There's thoughts on what?
Just whatever we do. Anything you
whatever
say.
Whatever you're thinking. Right? What's going on with the camera, man?
Well, something seems to be going wrong.
Oh, none of the cameras were on.
None of the cameras were on?
That's not true.
Well, it looks like we'll be starting sort of back over.
Was Ron on the camera?
Oh.
We're going? We're good?
Welcome back to Impulsive.
Take me out to dinner before you fuck me next time, Andre. Anyways, what are we talking about? Probably something.
Murky water.
Oh, scary.
Yep.
Hate it.
What would you think would be the scariest thing your toe could touch under murky water?
Oh, that's the worst.
Like, what?
Yo, have you kicked a fish when you're swimming in deep water?
Yeah.
Like, but what's like the
how
worst
do we know it was
thing?
A fish?
Huh? Mm. What's the worst thing? I mean, you're down there. Like, I'm thinking this, a plugged in toaster. Think about it. Your foot slides into the thing and the other, and then a rock toast hits the toast button. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're electrocuted.
Well, it's not scary. Yeah. That's fatal. And that's the terror.
It's also highly unlikely.
You say that, but have you not seen underwater lake power stations?
Yeah. Have you seen 47 meters down?
No.
Wait, is it about the Mariana Trench?
There's a shark.
The Mariana Trench, the deepest.
No. You think the Mariana Trench is 47 meters deep?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said 47 multimeters. God dang it. Fuck.
Man, our guest today can help you with numbers, bro.
We need some help with some science.
The last thing you said was that fucking...
What?
The head of the Cali cartel was... Fidel Castro.
I was thinking of Ariel Castro, the dude who... kidnap girls in Ohio? I don't fucking... There's a Castro somewhere.
Unbelievable.
I don't know things, dude.
We need help from a chief economist at some point.
Yeah. Should we bring him on?
We need someone
smart.
Let's
talk about some more house gossip.
All right, well, we're going to bring him on eventually, I promise. What else we got going on in the house?
Well, today's Friday, right?
Yeah, technically.
What day is it really?
Today's Monday, so...
But it's today's Friday, so what do you guys got planned fucking this weekend or something?
You know me, I'm going to Sweden. I'm a Swedish fish.
Swedish fish. What is there in Sweden?
I heard those didn't originate in Sweden.
Probably very true.
That will break my heart.
Swedish fish Swedish? Like what?
Yeah, scholars haven't figured that one out yet.
Still
either.
Unsolved? No.
Where did Swedish fish come from?
Oh, Sweden.
Who would see this? He typed in where did Swedish fish come from and it has a Swedish flag that says Sweden.
No, dude, Sweden. Yeah, I'm going there to make some music. You guys know, man. Gotta go sing my little heart out.
Will you bring back some Swedish fish for us?
Yeah.
Vegan. What, like, get some high quality ones.
What else is native to Sweden? Like, there's got to be some sort of really nice
type
food.
Type it in.
Like,
Copenhagen.
Like worst, Germany. Yeah. Right?
Type it in. What else is native to Sweden?
Some native Swedish
delights.
Okay. Yeah, because I really want to do it. What is a typical Swedish food? Oh, many meat dishes.
Mm-hmm. Especially
Spencer's
meatballs.
Not allowed. Meatballs.
Oh, Swedish meatballs. The little baby meatballs.
Oh, yeah.
In the gravy sauce.
And lingonberry jam.
Oh.
Fruit soups with high viscosity. Anyone know what viscosity is? It's a physics term for you?
It's friction related.
Nope. It's the ability to flow.
Like no friction, like no friction. It's you could just flow.
Nah, not quite.
High viscosity.
Not quite. I think we're talking about a lot of facts and like.
Austin McBroom's basketball tournament tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
What, don't make that face at me. No. What?
No, Dylan. Oh, Dylan's mad at
Dylan's
Mike
pissed.
For,
what else is fucking?
No, mad? It was just because I was going to do a sick transition to the guest, but actually, I think we should talk about it. I think I'm coaching one of the teams because Jake and Austin made it very clear I'm not good enough to play basketball.
Yeah, you kind of.
You're right. Yeah, they're right. Bad. They're right. Yeah. They're absolutely right. I made no.
You have
no
a basketball
pushback
hoop
from me.
We have a basketball hoop in the house, and I've been shooting around, and you'll come in while you're just on your way upstairs, and just. Airball and hit the fish tank.
Oh, I always miss. I always miss.
It's just sad.
And it's, you know what's sad, even more sad is like I played basketball when I was younger. Not like on a team, but like I'd go to the rec center after school and I play. And I just, that's one sport I never got like good at.
You're mad athletic. It's just,
I'm physical, bro. Like I get that rebound. Like I want it really bad.
Are you the kid that just fouled out like in like five minutes?
Oh, yeah. Cause I didn't give a fuck. I was wrestling motherfuckers. Yeah. All right, let's do it. Let's bring on our guest. Here we go. Today's guest is quite possibly the smartest guy in the world. He's a mathematician and economist and the managing director of Thiel Capital, Peter Thiel's investment firm. It's Eric Weinstein. Peter, it's because there's a TH.
Yeah.
And that throws me off.
It's a tongue twister.
Peter
Thiel, the tongue twister.
Can you
twist.
Say it for me?
Peter Thiel.
There you go.
Fuck, you didn't even say
it. It sounded pretty easy.
Hey, you're a.
But do you guys believe like in reptilians?
Reptilian
overlords?
Oh,
you're going right into it.
Yeah.
Well, oh, fuck.
Peter Thiel is an anagram for the reptile.
Are you serious?
How?
Just think about it for a minute.
Peter Thiel is an anagram for the reptile. Now, an anagram is?
A thing that goes down the side with, and every first letter of something starts a word, a sentence.
Wait, what is that a pseudonym? Is that his name? An anagram, a word or phrase formed by rearranging the letters of another.
Exactly.
Peter Thiel, what is it rearranged to form?
The reptile.
Oh, fuck.
Is that true?
Wow.
You know him.
Kids, check it at home.
He's right. Wow. He's right.
So he's like the king. He's at the top. He's the reptilian overlord.
I don't think we should keep talking about
it. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, there's like a time limit on it.
We'll skip past that.
Yeah.
Wow, he's worth $2.5 billion. God knows what he's doing. And you manage that money?
No.
Nope.
What says you're the, here on my thing, managing director of Thiel Capital?
Yeah.
So what exactly do
Peter
you do?
Manages that money.
So for the average person, because I heard you are one of the smartest people in the world.
From whom?
That guy. He said you're one of the top five in the world.
So you're listening.
That's what he said.
This is getting better and better. By the way, this is the most famous microphone in the world. Am I right?
It really is.
And yo, this is actually when we met.
Yeah.
He's referring to the famous Riley Reid deep throat. When she deep throated our impulsive mic,
when
we met for the first time,
You
said so. You know, I knew you looked familiar, and it was actually when you were interviewing David Blaine, and I watched him regurgitate a frog. That was awesome. And afterwards, you came up to me, and I thought, I don't know, so there was going to be some sort of like extreme knowledge that I was going to absorb. And you go, hey man, I want to tell you something. I was like, yes, this is it, bro. I'm going to become a better person. And you go, I actually really appreciated you having Riley Reid on your podcast. And I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, well, wow. I was there for that.
So first of all, she came to one of our shows with Sam Harris and Ben Shapiro in San Francisco. She's clearly very interested in psychedelics, in atheism, in rationality.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think what's been really interesting for me in talking to her is talking about very different topics, which is the business harassment of her as an independent, successful businesswoman, where she can't effectively perform commerce in the world because she's being harassed by banks or by
social
storefronts.
Platforms.
Exactly. Yep. And so this is, I think, one of the most important fronts in the free speech arena. We're seeing it, people being restricted because of what they're saying politically. We see people being restricted what they can teach educationally. And we've forgotten that the erotic arts are traditionally one of the most important battlegrounds for free speech and historically have been so, at least since these decisions were made in 1959, 67, and 73.
Erotic arts.
Yeah, erotic arts.
Porn, if you will.
No,
She had trouble getting a house.
Yeah.
So I saw her Instagram story. She was crying on her Instagram story. They had run the credit.
Right.
They had run the background. Everything came out perfect because obviously she's got great credit because she makes so much money off premium Snapchats.
Premium Snapchats.
And once they found out who she was unable to get the house once they found out that she was an adult entertainer.
So let's call it financial harassment.
Absolutely.
And that's what I really appreciated is that you guys treated her as a successful businesswoman. I mean, you had a great time, you know, joking around.
Sure.
But the fact is that she's well-spoken, thoughtful, and she's in business.
Facts. We were all very surprised.
And what a generous human being with her time, and she's been lovely.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yep. Conversation.
It's will say this. We are the most versatile podcast, I think, in the world. Undoubtedly, I think that's our shtick. We can have you on and we can have someone who's the exact opposite of you on and we're going to thrive. So listen, I do want you to explain in layman's terms what you do. For the average person.
Well, so I'm a mathematician by training. I went into mathematics in order to understand the geometry underneath the two main branches of theoretical physics. Mm. And with Peter, having spent time in finance, I had a hedge fund in New York City with a friend. I try to simply be available in whatever capacity. I mean, he's one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. And I try to be his intellectual jogging partner for whatever the topics are, whether it's philanthropy or an issue in markets or finance or trying to figure out how to fix education, what have you.
Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out how to fix education.
What about? It's
a big topic.
Bernie Sanders made a little announcement last night you may have heard of that he may try to pass a law that forgives all student debt.
Yeah. Well, what was it, 2005 when student debt became non-dischargeable? So, you know, you have what does appear, and this is one of the reasons that I think it's great hanging out with the younger guys, is that we have an intergenerationally extractive situation in which your cohort is viewed as a source of financial wealth for older generations. And the idea was to force you into a college paradigm and make sure that you couldn't get rid of the debt no matter what. Mm. And I think this thing is absolutely immoral. And that kind of spirit is actually one of the reasons why I voted for Bernie last time around.
So you're, I presume, against the idea of traditional college?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I went to a traditional college. I think that it's right for a minority of people. But the idea that you have to sell everybody that if you don't do this, you're inadequate. I mean, this is preposterous, yeah. and it's unethical, it's immoral, but it's a great scam.
It's been going great
it's
for
a great
the schools.
Scam. Yeah. How would you? I don't know the details behind it, but how would economically you actually forgive $1.6 trillion of debt
with some difficulty? I mean, it's going to be really disruptive and expensive if that debt has to get written off. Then there's going to be a clamoring for everybody trying to play musical chairs with the debt. And see who gets stuck standing up at the end. So I don't know how that's going to get unwound.
Did you see his his idea, his proposal as to how that happens?
No.
Taxing Wall Street transactions.
Yeah.
So basically there would be a tax on buying and selling securities.
They say Tobin tax.
I didn't see the name of it, but is that what it would be
probably,
considered?
Yeah. So
economics?
The idea is you're just going to put some friction, speaking of viscosity, into the system.
Yep.
And, obviously that's intended in part to stop speculation, to punish people who have been doing very well because they've been rent seeking through finance. And whether or not that is the best means of doing all of this, let's be honest, we're in a revolutionary mood. And these proposals... Yeah, we are years into a revolution that is not acknowledged. How weird is that? That we're in something And you're not even allowed to say that we're in revolutionary times.
Would you consider where we are right now to be similar to where we were in the late 60s?
I think that's the best parallel. That it's like 1968 is taking forever, in part because it's a low-grade revolution. Like, we're not seeing, let's say, bombings and murders of a political nature the way we were in the U.S. We're seeing milkshakings rather than, you know, the weather underground. And where you see that the violence is a kind of a generalized digital violence, where it's pretty dangerous to be online because you're playing with your entire reputation. Your reputation is what you need in order to be able to earn a living. And anybody who says the wrong thing or does the wrong thing according to somebody who's empowered to destroy them, you can become unemployable very quickly.
I think it's because, you know, on social media, everyone does have a voice. I don't think it's just one person who could be empowered to destroy them. I think it is that like collective of people who may feel wronged when it comes to a specific scenario. But I was going to ask you, could you flesh out this revolution you're talking about? Because I'm hearing you, but I want to know in your eyes what exactly you think this revolution is and what is happening that we haven't addressed or talked about yet.
Well, I think
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Before we get to the revolution, we should talk about the weird stasis that just went on the same way for a long time. I think that between 1945, the end of World War II, and 1973, there was this period of bizarre prosperity. It was really stable. You could base your future on it. You can move away from your family and towards a financial solution for most of your life problems.
A decade earlier,
I told you on the last podcast. My phone rings and the YouTube video starts.
You were
playing.
Really headed to a good spot. Let's get back there.
All right. So
fuck everything up, bro. What's new? Logan Paul made a mistake. I can't believe it. I fucking can't believe it.
So you're moving towards financial prosperity. It's 1970.
Yeah. So 1973, there seems to be some sort of very weird thing that happens and growth keeps going up, but like median male income flatlines for decades. You know, you could say part of that has to do with, you know, some issues involving the Arab oil crisis, gold standard, women entering the workforce. But there's a mystery as to what the.
How do you make all of it end? Like every piece of it.
Give me the fucking phone.
You mute that. If you mute.
I already did. I muted the YouTube video.
No, how about just.
Millions call me twice. I'm going to answer. No, I'm so sorry, Eric. I'm so. Hey, Mill, you got to tell me what's so important that you called me twice on a podcast because we have the smartest guest ever, and I've blatantly disrespected him. You've called me twice now, Milton.
Okay, I'm sorry, but listen to this.
What?
I'm with Tommy Chong right now.
Tommy Chong? Okay, that's pretty important.
All right, that's a wrap. Guys, right. Thanks. It's been great.
No, hey, tell him I said what's up. We want him on the podcast.
Okay, what's happening, Logan?
Hey, what's up, dude? Cheech and Chong, Tommy Chong?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, this...
Hey, nice to meet you, man. This is a weird way that it's happening.
You too.
I'm sweating, if I'm being honest.
I'm going to get back to the podcast, Logan, but I'm going to get his number, and he wants to come on.
All right.
I'll be on your show, man.
All right, amazing. Thanks, Mel.
Wow.
All right, later.
All right, bye. You just bestowed upon some excellent vibes.
What?
This was you. This was your doing.
Oh, man. Name another podcast in the world where that would happen.
Sometime around the time that Earache My Eye appeared on Cheech and Chong, everything changed in the economy.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
All right. Focus.
No more.
Focus.
Yes. Here we are.
All right. Here we are. All right. And then we started lying about everything in order to keep this game going. Think about it, like a really rich family with a failing family business. For a while, it can kind of take the assets it has and play games to hope that the business recovers. But in essence, that game sort of went from, let's say, 1980 to, I would say, 2008. And then we were in this weird zombie period between 2008 and 2016. Where we couldn't have new ideas. We just had these old ideas that nobody believed were still true. Mm-hmm. And they were like walking the landscape. And then you had the Trump anomaly where we find out people are so pissed that they will do anything to get the attention and say, no mas. And then the weird thing is that the thing that was supposed to get the message and hear no mas says, oh, let's just triple and quadruple down on the same stuff that wasn't working before. Mm-hmm.
Not policy-wise.
Well, not just policy-wise. It's just like I don't think that the country is clamoring right now for open borders. I don't think that the country is clamoring right now for bigotry being normalized against any group. Black, white, green doesn't matter. Right. But like the idea of this sort of woke movement is extremely powerful because I think the left lost the labor unions. And this is this very weird thing that we think about these as social movements. But maybe what really happened is that when Ronald Reagan broke up PATCO, the left lost unions and now it needed a replacement. And so it found identity politics over time as a replacement. And so instead of it confronting the fact that families, you guys are having trouble in general forming families. It's gotten really tough.
Like millennials, you're saying?
Yeah.
How come?
Well, because
you're right. I've been trying to have a kid for a long time.
So you're speaking right to his heart.
Yeah. I don't think it's mainly because I'm emotionally unavailable, but I feel like it maybe stems from what you're saying.
Well, you're in a different position, but if you're 24, 25, and you want to think about proposing to the amazing gal that you've been dating, and you say, hey, I've got a house, a cool city you want to live in. How about having a couple of kids with me? Maybe you'll be the breadwinner. Maybe I'll be the breadwinner.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be gay. It could be straight. You could switch genders. But you more or less need a breadwinner and somebody staying home. Is a standard division of labor in a house that you can afford in a city you want to be in. And that thing has just, it's moved out of reach.
What part of it has changed that has made it so hard to have those two people working in tandem to achieve the same goal?
Well, for one thing, you had this thing where people moved away from their family support systems and towards financial support systems, right? So you could either have unemployment insurance, let's say, or you could have the idea that if somebody's out of work in a family, maybe they're inside the home for a while doing things for the clan and somebody else is out earning. But we moved away from family-based systems to financial-based systems because we had the long period of prosperity. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of easy prosperity seemed to have come to an end, right? And so in general, our economy doesn't make fantastic sense. This debt forgiveness, this was an extraction program where older people who were professors and administrators in universities were able to hook up younger people and their futures to a debt machine to transfer wealth from down below to up above. And that's got to end. And whether or not my generation suffered through enough of this, the Gen Xers, but it's the silent generation of the baby boomers that really started these games. And we should be compassionate with them. But on the other hand, we should tell them, no, you're going to have to carry your own weight. You've had a really beautiful run. And in part, you did that by mortgaging the future. And we're not going to pay for it.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ow!
That's great. I agree. It absolutely does need to end. Does it end with like
everybody just waking up? Homes?
Well, is it like a government regulated thing? Something needs to stop at like a government level, or is it kids waking up and
we can do this any which way you want. I mean, you know, if there were federally mandated retirement ages, we could bring them back and everybody's gonna say, oh my God, that's an imposition on my freedom. You say, okay, well, how about debt forgiveness? You know, how about all the student debt is wiped out? Or how about we start looking at some laws that specifically take care of you guys? You know, maybe my generation just needs to get screwed on both ends. We got screwed by the baby boomers. I know it sounds more exciting if I phrase it that way, but
well, we call that an Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. Spencer's got these zingers now and then, man.
Being politically correct.
I forgot. Here I am in the valley.
Yeah, you're looking at. Yeah, that's exactly right. Riley could be coming in any second here. You talk about different policies that need to change, but the one thing I don't really hear too much from you is the need for reform on corporate pandering from special interest groups, right? How big of a problem do you think?
How much time do you have?
No, I mean, we sat with Alex Jones for almost 4 hours.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time.
But I mean, I've mentioned this too, and I corporate control over Washington, D.C., in my eyes, is one of the largest problems we face as a country. That and partisan programming that's happened and not working together as a two-party system. See, how big of a problem is it?
It's a huge problem, and I grew up thinking it was the problem, and I don't think that that's true anymore.
Okay.
In other words, I think that that game got going specifically because there were fundamental changes in the pipeline from science to technology to the general economy.
Okay.
And that had to do with some things that were going to change forever within science and in its development. Now, what happened as a result is that as you went from privileging the sharpest minds to the sharpest elbows became a problem. But if you successfully redistributed all of this wealth and you got rid of all the special deals, we'd still be, I think, in a terrible situation. So, you know, it's very tempting because they're actual villains, and I'd love to go after villains and amuse ourselves taking over their third and fourth homes, you know, and throw parties. That'd be fun. But I don't think that that's going to solve our problems. It's just there are not enough villains and they didn't steal enough of our wealth to make that a viable option. We have really actually exciting fundamental problems, which is we have to invent really cool stuff. And if you go into an average room now and you ask, is it 1973? How do I know? You say, oh, okay, well, they're the phones. Okay, subtract the phones off. Subtract the laptops off. Very quickly, you have no idea, except for design issues, that you're not in 1973. The world didn't change nearly as much as we were expecting.
What were we expecting?
Yeah. Oh, you know, like why doesn't a drone get me my beverage refill because
of fucking poor and we suck?
Well, we're close. We're close.
Amazon's sending drones.
We're working on it.
Do you think that's because of like the space boom? Like we go to the moon and then now it's like all of a sudden we haven't gone since.
And side note, did we go to the moon?
Yeah, we went.
Okay, I think I agree. I was just saying,
thank
some
God.
People don't.
Yeah. It'd probably be harder to fake it than to actually just go there.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But, you know, in part, the reason we don't do this is because it's kind of a silly, weird thing to, you know, the plastic cup and somebody just goes to the faucet. It's almost not worth innovating it. So partially we had these sort of silly dreams. Partially we didn't realize how difficult those dreams were also weirdly out of sequence and things. I bring up the rollerboard suitcase that you see on all airline flights was developed in 1989 because nobody had figured out how to do wheeled luggage until 1989. And there's nothing about it that's like wildly technological. Ben Franklin could have done it and he didn't do it.
Now they have ones that actually follow you. They follow you through the airport. You don't touch them. They just follow you like a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a little. Yeah, and they make ones you could ride around too. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can ride them like little Bronco scooters.
Okay, but
that's crazy.
Still,
1989, you said?
Yeah, but that's like Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff that's lagging. So I've given previously on the Tim Ferriss program the example of the umbrella. There's no way that the umbrella is in final form. It's just an idiot device. It's there to poke your eyes out, to blow up,
break,
to get
go
lost.
The wrong
Everything
way,
goes wrong.
Fill with water, yeah.
Right. And like one day it's going to be obvious to us, like, oh my God, the Johnson umbrella. That was clearly.
Wait, why? If you know that the umbrella is not in final form, like, do you have any ideas on how we can innovate the umbrella?
Absolutely.
What can we do? How can we make the umbrella?
Is this the top podcast in the world?
Yeah, it's
the
number one
podcast
number
in the world.
One.
All right, based on stats. Low gangsters.
Here we go.
You didn't think I knew that, did you?
No, I mean, I don't know. You knew Jake was engaged.
What?
You knew Jake was engaged.
Sure.
You congratulated me. You go, congrats. I was like,
well,
for what?
It's not every day, bro. So anyway.
Whoa, what the fuck?
So what I was going to say is that all the low gangsters should figure out how to, this is how I'm going to innovate.
This is incredible. I just...
Activate the audience.
Yeah.
Get them going. Get them thinking.
Next.
What?
It's going to work.
Can you answer?
What, you guys got to do it?
Yeah, they're going to do it.
Figure it out, guys. What's good?
Design us. Send us your umbrella designs. Is that what we need?
Yeah, we just got to stop. Fewer moving pieces. It needs to be safe at eye level. It needs to not blow up in the wind and get destroyed. And it'd be nice if it got... if it was cheap and didn't get lost.
That's crazy. That's
crazy.
Like,
should we shoot?
Believe in you.
A little further and have it make toast or something like that too. Like, why are we aiming so low? You know, like
next you're gonna bring in the avocados and confirm all the
stereotypes. Avocado toast.
It's $20 here in LA. I mean,
if you're,
we need to innovate
that
process.
What if your umbrella could make it?
Exactly.
For you,
exactly.
You know?
That's crazy. So, question on recently, Rogan. We were talking about this, about the UFOs that Bob Lazar exposed, and we were just talking about how this suppression of technology for corporate interests is at play. I don't know. Have you seen what Bob Lazar stands for and what he's coming out with, what he's been coming out with for 30 years?
No.
So he's claiming that...
listen, man, do you believe in aliens?
Do I believe in aliens?
Have you been on a UFO?
Have you rode a ship? Are you an alien?
No.
All right.
Do you believe in aliens?
Do I believe in aliens? Yeah.
Do you think alien technology is being hidden somewhere here in the United States?
God,
America?
I hope so. That would be awesome. Probably not.
You don't think so? Bob Lazar says
you should check out Bob Lazar. They put a documentary out on Netflix. Long story short, do you think that corporations are holding back technology for profits?
Sure. But not alien technology, probably.
Here's an example. I would also say sure. Like how many years ahead are they with the iPhone?
I think three,
right?
Yeah.
So the answer is yes, but there's obviously a strategic.
Well, I mean,
output strategy
is the answer. Yes, I mean. How far out?
You don't think so, Colin?
How far out are they really? Seeing as how they haven't done anything innovative since iPhone. You know what I'm saying? Three years from now, this is the iPhone. It still looks exactly the same, does the same shit.
Well, that's what he's saying. They're holding back like the innovations they could be making because the corporation.
Money. Well,
so why would a corporation hold back their own technology that could improve their sales?
Because you can knowingly release a slightly newer updated phone every year.
It's called planned obsolescence.
That's what I was just saying to Spencer.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Planned obsolescence. You talk about borders a lot.
What
border would you set up to keep aliens out?
To keep aliens
out? Yes.
Huh? I mean, there would be like a wild laser dome with plasma.
That's hard.
Yeah,
math.
Cool. And sharks and stuff.
Sharks with lasers
on the back.
Mm-hmm. Flying,
it's like flying fish thing.
Shark hybrid.
We've seen them in Fortnite.
Don't we have like a defense program that's kind of, what's it called, Star Wars? Don't we have some sort of laser bound defense program currently?
Well,
it's called Space Force.
Trump wants to start.
Well, is he doing it?
Did he fund the space?
Are you making a joke? I'm being serious.
No, dead serious.
Well, the Israelis have this Iron Dome.
There's an Iron Dome in Israeli land.
Okay, so what is that? Could you explain that?
I don't think there are sharks, but I can't put it past the Israelis.
The Iron Dome is just their system of shooting down rockets that are coming over from enemies. Yeah.
Check it out.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of rockets. Tiny images may be subject to copyright.
Is that really what you guys are worried about? You're worried about alien illegal immigrants taking our jobs?
Like, yes. Literally from outer space. Yeah, this is it could really potentially set us back.
I'm not sure.
So the Strategic Defense Initiative, also called Star Wars Defense Program, is our strategic initiative from Reagan that I believe still is in use today. That is our nuclear missile defense
program. That was super controversial in my time.
Massive.
Why?
Well, I think it was because it was going to, you know, there's always been this question of should we compete with the Russians? Should we, or should we befriend them? And give them the technology? Should we try to have one world government? Should we try to have a Cold War and mutually assured destruction? Nobody's ever solved the problem of unlocking the atom.
What do you mean by that?
Well,
what is unlocking the atom?
That's what caused the. That's why we have nuclear weapons.
No.
So
that's when you split the atom.
All right. So we split it first, and then we fused it next. You know, we were joking before about the Teller-Ulam design. Teller, at the end of the war, World War II, gets this letter from Leo Szilard, who I guess had pushed for the bomb, and said, you know, hey, will you sign our letter saying that we have to control this technology? And Teller more or less morally flips him the bird and says, you're trying to solve your conscience, and I understand what we've just done, and you just don't. And what's really going on is we've given the world a very thin sliver of hope, which is that war will become unthinkable, and the race now is to make the worst possible weapons so that we will abandon war permanently. And if you think we're going to put the nuclear genie back in the bottle, you just haven't thought about this enough. And we think of Teller as a monster, but it's not clear to us that Teller isn't the guy who actually intuited the right calculus of preservation in a post-nuclear age.
That's a scary thing to think about.
Yeah. Now, the question is, how do we get off this rock?
Oh, you're on that wave.
Oh yeah. Well, there's no long-term future.
Elon Musk just tweeted an image that said Occupy Mars.
Well, yeah. Mars?
Occupy
is
Mars.
Is he still on Mars?
I don't know.
Mars buys us maybe a little bit of time. It's a diversified experiment.
You're trying to get out of the Milky Way.
You're going to hit up T-Garden B?
It's only 12.5 million light years away, man.
No, 12.5 light years.
That's what I said.
It's the most Earth-like exoplanet that they've found so far.
Yeah, yeah. Tea Garden B, 12.5 light years.
How are we going to get out off this rock?
Well, there are two other rocks to go to, more or less. I mean, we've landed on Titan, but that's not plausible.
Pluto's moon?
By the way, have you seen the picture of Saturn's the land? Put Titan landing photo.
Titan landing photo.
This is the weirdest thing. Is like we paid for and successfully landed on Titan.
Which is one of Saturn's moons, right?
Yeah. And
are we looking for the actual?
Yeah.
Is this it?
No. That's an artist rendering. Okay. Go back to
that. That's a great artist.
That's a nice pancake.
No, go down. Go down.
Is it one of these?
Well, they got boats.
One of these?
Nope.
How do they have a picture?
Wait. That's the one right to the left.
Nope. Middle. You jumped it. There you go.
Oh. Yeah. The only one that looks real. I'm avoiding that one.
Why this isn't the world's most famous photograph and you actually have to search for it is bizarre. Like
why?
We landed on Titan and we sent back a postcard and nobody cares. This is like the craziest thing.
When did we land?
Of course, nobody cares. Jake Paul has just got engaged. Do you know what I'm saying?
With like, a Mercedes,
like yo, with
no, but, like $125,000.
Listen, is this not part of the problem, Eric? Is that people don't care about this kind of shit because Jake Paul's engaged. Kardashian's got a new sex tape out. No one gives a shit about this stuff. We are gonna ride the E-News train directly into the fucking ground.
No, but we are part of this problem. Like, why are we doing this podcast? Is because we care about people. So we have to, you know, it's like charismatic megafauna. Nobody cares about saving stuff that isn't as charismatic as a panda bear, right? So what do? You need a panda bear to get everything saved.
So you tell me we'd send a panda bear to Titan.
That's what I'm talking. Pandas on Titan. Seriously, think about it.
Nah,
we could do this.
Because then we'd feel like a FOMO type, like we need to join the panda. But what about this photo? It's remarkable technology-wise. We got the postcard back from one of Saturn's moons. But like, what about this is so great and screams to you?
It's a moon with an atmosphere that we successfully landed on this far out.
But what about our moon?
Yeah, we did that in the 69.
Yeah, what year are you in?
Yeah, but this is a lot farther out.
Hey, we landed on it. We want to let's hang out with Betty Candy.
I understand that, but my point is that the whole Elon Musk let's go to Mars thing is super intriguing because it's not that intriguing, right? Like we know that there's this big relatively uninteresting planet. Now, maybe we'll find some cool stuff on it, no doubt. But we're running out of time, and we've only got these two alternate rocks to visit. We're not going to go to Venus. We're not going to go to Mercury. We're not landing on Pluto. We're not going to Titan. And if you think about it, once you've unlocked what I call the twin nuclei problem, the nucleus
hate,
of the
hate
cell.
Worst problem. I deal with it constantly.
Who doesn't? Even with antibiotics, it's pretty bad. But once you've unlocked the cell and the atom, you start a clock and it's ticking on you. And you don't know how we're going to get out of this thing. We're too powerful and we're not wise.
Question for you. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, Earth is starting to become uninhabitable. We've destroyed the planet, or warfare has caused a problem. So we're dropping nukes. There, people are pillaging villages. People are dying. We find this planet somewhere in the solar system.
Yeah,
we all go
in the solar system.
Whatever, wherever it is.
All right,
we all go there and we show up, and we get approached by Tea Garden Bees Border Patrol. Mm. But hold on, this is going to go to a real place. Even though that is kind of funny. We get to Tea Garden Bee and they say, stop right there. And we say, I have my children with me. My family, my home is being ravaged by cartels or ravaged by war.
Right.
I need shelter here. I need somewhere to go. And they say, we're really sorry. We don't have place for you here. We're overpopulated.
So we showed up unarmed.
Yeah.
I like this analogy.
I see
what you're doing.
What do we do? Like, what do we do? How do we solve a problem where there's a wall and people can't get into a place that is going to offer them some solace from the place that they've been?
You know, I'm so far out there that I'm talking about the fact that we need to exit the solar system. And you guys are worried about, like,
hey, listen, man,
visas and border control.
No, you don't know. Tea Garden Bee could have some pretty serious, you know,
no,
some pretty
but
up, serious
I, both
people.
Are, I mean, one's definitely, you're thinking way, way, way ahead. Like, how far out do you think the vision you're talking about leaving the planet is?
It depends. You see, this is the thing that I find fascinating, which is it was only around 100 years ago that Einstein came up with the speed limit. It's like he grounded us. It's like being grounded by your dad. You were not leaving the solar system under any plausible adventure scenario. And so if you're like me, you're trying to figure out, okay, so dad grounded me and now he's left. And now I have to figure out, can I scale this wall? Can I crawl out the window? There's got to be some way, maybe.
Well, it's proven to be very difficult, obviously.
I agree. But we know that it's not, we're almost positive that relativity isn't the last word, right? Because it's got these weird singularities. There's the initial singularity that gives you the Big Bang. There's the Schwarzschild singularity that gives you black holes. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, Einstein tells us these equations. We probably need to recover them from a more fundamental theory. But damn, it's like grandpa grounded us and I'm not accepting it. I think we have to keep pushing on the fundamentals.
What does that mean with he had a speed limit? Like not like a physical traffic speed limit.
Well, a physical, you're not going faster than the speed of light, bucko,
right.
Speed limit.
Got it. Yeah, we were just talking about this. Seems like a pretty plausible speed limit.
What?
It seems like a pretty plausible speed limit. Like,
so did 55, but Sammy Hagar didn't listen to
that. Oh my God. He can't drive 55.
I'm impressed.
I got to bring the 34-year-old. That's even like a 60-year-old aspect to it. Great song. Einstein did have some anomalies in his space-time and his general theory of relativity.
Yeah.
Did he not? Is there a way to tear that fabric?
Well, you can wormhole that fabric.
Because I'm ready to wormhole the shit out of this thing, dude. Like, how are we going to do this, dude?
Tonight.
How do we do this?
We're doing it tonight.
Do we got to hit a certain
right
speed?
Now. Yeah. Do we have to go to Miami and spend a three-day weekend at 11?
Yes.
And then the wormhole forms.
Eric, I got to ask you this. You ever partied at 11 in Miami?
Have I ever partied at 11?
It's the name of a club.
No.
Mark Roberts Club.
Oh, man. Must be
it
nice.
Is a mix between a nightclub. There is a strippers.
And a wormhole, if I'm being
and
honest.
I will be honest with you. If you are going to find a wormhole in this country or this world, it's at 11 at the bottom of the stripper pole.
I think you're mistaken with the glory hole.
I got 400, I got 400 bucks out of the ATM there, and it was gone in 2 seconds.
Well, the only you threw the whole wad, dummy.
Yeah, but
I think we probably roll in different ways. But I need to party with you.
You partied with Riley, and so have I, so.
I've not partied. I've never met Riley.
Oh,
what?
No, I just talked to her on the phone.
Oh,
whoa, really? She spoke really highly of you.
I think very, very highly of her.
It seemed like you guys had met.
Nope. So back to the wormhole situation. Yep. How could a wormhole possibly be holed via worm?
Say that again, because that was pretty good.
How could the wormhole be holed via worm?
Wait, sorry. What the fuck are you saying right now?
I know
this isn't water.
Logan knows,
bro.
What you're saying, bro.
Logan knows, all right?
It's an energy thing. No. I feel you.
Wait, thank
you.
Nope.
I hear you. I got it.
Crazy. Yeah. I don't really know. I mean, I think that's just a topological solution that physicists entertain each other with, but I'm not positive that that's really how we would get out of it. I think that the key question is to figure out what is the successor to space-time? What is the successor to these two theories that seem irreconcilable in quantum field theory and general relativity?
Did you watch Interstellar?
I did watch Interstellar.
What'd you think? You like it?
Yeah, I did like it.
Scientifically accurate?
No, I mean, that's Kip Thorne. It's like scientifically advised, you know?
Is a wormhole a sphere?
Is a wormhole a sphere?
Like they depicted in Interstellar?
I don't remember it being a sphere.
Oh, you don't? It was the black hole.
Oh.
Was a sphere.
I think it bended the light around it.
No, Spencer. I'm going to say this one more time so maybe you can understand.
Why is the Spencer black hole so was much a sphere?
I disagree with you.
I'm going to type this in. What shape is a black hole? The black hole is actually, according to Google, the black hole is always approximately spherical.
Oh, because it's spherical.
And actually, they just got a picture of, I think it was the most,
yeah.
What was it? The most vivid.
The super massive black hole.
Yeah.
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 So you're talking about the event horizon of the black hole.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. The event horizon. Joe Rogan's got a guy who does
Remember
this.
Remember right? that movie? Remember the movie, the event horizon? It's a fucked up movie.
This? Is it this one? I think it's this one.
That's it? The real photo.
Yeah, well, the photo, I mean, I'm sure.
This is crazy. This is crazy. Can you explain what's happening in this little macaroni?
Yeah, it looks like
that we see.
Cheeseburger with the cheese falling off it.
My belief is that they took a lot of very faint light and did some sort of computer reconstruction and colorized it to make it. My guess is it's not a photo of a black hole so much as it is an interpretation of the data for our visual pleasure. Right. Yeah.
So you know, that's not an iPhone photo, obviously.
This wasn't shot on iPhone.
That's not shot on iPhone.
This is not a composite.
Supposedly Android's got a better camera. So,
yeah.
But,
yeah. Where were we headed? Where were we?
I'll be honest with you. We have no idea.
Okay.
We have cool. Absolutely. If you haven't figured that out by now, the producer saying money.
I was promised that there was a plot in the arc and the trajectory.
I love talking about space and macaroni holes.
Yeah.
Hey, listen though. Let's talk about money. You want to talk about money?
Or the border conversation too is another thing. Cause you've been quite vocal on the borders on Twitter.
That's true.
Oh, well.
Borders should be uninviting places, you say.
Yeah.
There should be a door, but it should be a small door, you say.
Well, this is just like adult 101, which is like, it doesn't have to be, you know, concertina wire and machine gun nests and hey, let's not have any border at all. And everybody can come. A border is a place that should be uninviting. It should not make you want to cross it if you don't have an invitation to come through. And we definitely want to have immigration, which is a powerful part of our tradition. And we don't want to be overwhelmed in an uncontrolled fashion. And we don't want our own people, and this is the biggest problem of all, which nobody will listen to. The big problem with immigration has nothing to do with immigrants. It's two groups of Americans fighting each other. A group of Americans in control who knows how to redistribute the wealth of other Americans. And they use immigrants to do that. And that's the biggest problem we have is I wrote a paper, for example, called Migration for the Benefit of All that said, hey, if you want to open a border and not screw people over like workers, here's how you do it. And I came up with an entire economic theory and pushed it over to corporate America and said, how do you feel about this, guys? Because they had always claimed that all we want to do is make the world more efficient. But the tiny efficiency gain that you get in immigration is dwarfed by the amount of money transferred from American workers to the holders of American stock. Mm-hmm. And so the big problem that we're having is that the people who are the owners of capital are hiding behind the immigrants saying, oh, you wouldn't hurt an immigrant, would you? And it's like, stop hiding behind the immigrants. It's you and me. It's two groups of Americans. You're trying to redistribute money from my pocket into your pocket. And if you could use puppy dogs to do it rather than immigrants, you'd use puppy dogs.
So you're calling them almost like a scapegoat or some sort of vessel for delivery of a...
It's a mechanism.
Right.
The immigrants are irrelevant to the problem. The problem comes from the fact that very rich, powerful people who know what they're doing want the money of people who are too busy working and not sophisticated in the game to know how to defend themselves. And the whole game is, I bet I can get you to get angry at immigrants, then I can cry xenophobia. And so my point to them is, no. I could open the border and stop your little transfer game by actually using free market economics. And you're not going to like it because you're lying. This is back to your point about corporate interests. The corporate interests have been whining, complaining about labor shortages. Well, there's no such thing as a long-term labor shortage in a market economy, right? None. And they get relief for these labor shortages. But like, you know, I always make this joke that I've got a Ferrari shortage in my driveway. And people say, well, what do you mean a Ferrari shortage? I say, well, I can't get a Ferrari. And they say, well, you know, you don't know where they're sold? Oh, I know where they're sold. I just don't feel like paying that much for a car. Mm. Well, that's not a shortage. I mean, there's plenty of Ferraris if you want one. Well, the point is, I don't want to pay that price. Well, the employers of America know where the labor is. They just don't want to pay the prices. Mm. And so we're actually taking them serious. Like we're giving them Ferraris and saying, oh, you know, you guys are in such a bad shape. We have to make sure that you get exactly what you want at the price that you want. Well, that's not what a market economy is.
Right.
And that price of labor is our wage.
How can we make the border an uninviting place?
But not impossible, just uninviting.
Well, we have to stop these. Look, it's very important to get the open border people and the closed border people into a room to fight with each other and to leave the rest of us the hell alone so we can actually talk about sensible immigration policy. So if you have either an open border or a closed border position, you're not an
included
adult.
Now you're bringing up a different point, which is even more important than policy that is influenced by corporate greed.
Sure.
And it's what I would consider the largest problem, hands down, that our country faces right now, which is a partisan system that is not working together.
Well,
two aisles that when one aisle says we have 100% certainty that this is what's happening and this is how we solve it, the other party will say behind closed doors, we believe you, but we will not do it because you're in the other party.
But it's worse than that, because there's an anti-immigration part of the Democrats and there's a pro-immigration part of the Democrats. There's an anti-immigration part of the Republicans and a pro-immigration part.
So we're just all fucked then.
Well, I'm just saying that the more important division is between people who know what they're doing, redistributing the wealth and income of others, and people who do not want this to happen, but stray into xenophobic territory. And so most of the rest of us are in this very unpleasant place, which is that we don't want to come down for effectively the theft of wealth from the defenseless to the very well-heeled. And we don't want to put up with anybody saying, the problem with Mexicans is this or that, because that's disgusting. It's not who we are as a country.
Where's the compromise? Where do we find some sort of common ground? Is it like you said, putting these guys and these guys in timeout and letting the rational adults have a conversation?
Traditionally, what we did is we gave immigration duties in Congress to people from landlocked states.
Oh, and that so aren't affected by immigration.
So that they aren't under the same political pressure.
Incredible.
So you had like Tennessee or Wyoming getting the chairmanship of the committee that was going to deal with immigration to insulate these people, because we know
how Texas is going to vote.
Well, and we know that anybody on a border is going to be either calculating that this is their way to wealth, or they're frightened that they're going to be overrun.
So when you come up with simple solutions like that,
yeah,
what is the blockade for those simple solutions to come to fruition? It's corporate greed or some sort of initiative or incentive for people to block that. 'Cause that sounds very simple.
It's very sensible.
Bring in some people from Ohio to talk about regulation and economics on the border.
Yeah, we have a situation in which we are lying about just about everything in policy. And we've been doing it for so long because of this growth issue. This What happened, what I'm claiming, I think, happened around 1973 is that the entire economy had been built on an expectation of growth. And when that expectation could no longer be sustained, the embedded growth obligation inside of every institution, whether a university or a medical practice or a hospital, whatever it is, couldn't be met. So all of those things were like a plane that has to be moving at a certain speed or it'll stall out. And the planes were no longer able to go at the speed that they needed to. So instead, what they started doing is like throwing people out, you know, effectively doing anything they could to avoid whatever the stall speed problem was. And that's where we've been. We've been in about 45 years of across the board lying by our experts to defend the institution's right to continue. Like college, I mean, many fewer people need to be going to college and it needs to be delivering value. Now, that is such an explosive idea. We need to totally redo our medical care. We need to stop being such a litigious society. We need to start looking for new technologies and investing. All these things that we don't do, they're just politically unpalatable. And that's the thing, is we're in a revolution because we're doing a slow, weird unwind of 45 years of mental rot. It's just, it's intellectual malware between the ears of everybody. And by the way, my head is filled with malware. I have so much malware in my own head.
What do you mean malware?
Just bad. Wrong ideas put there by teachers, by experts, talking heads.
So how do you purge yourself?
We do this. We talk. We talk through stuff, and we listen for the people who are challenging these things. And we promote them. And you know, one of God's great gifts was the podcast, because this thing is unregulated. You guys are in the Wild West. Yep. And the fact is that they haven't figured out how to shut us down. But if they could shut us down, believe me, we would be under the same pressure that YouTube is putting on their various channels not to say anything interesting.
Do you think they is like traditional media? Or who do you think they is?
Well, in general, they has to do with what I would consider, I call the gated institutional narrative.
Oh, yeah.
And this is this concept that there used to be this thing, this discussion that we weren't a part of. We could watch, and like the Democratic Party would call up their friends at the Brookings Institution, and Brookings, you know, would ask, "Well, what's happening over at you know, Princeton?" And Princeton, so you have this group of actors and institutions that were trading ideas amongst themselves, and it was a little bit like what we, you know, professional wrestling with a promotion where, okay, you're going to agree to take this fall and then he's going to become the winner. You're not actually holding a real discussion. What you're really doing is you're doing a scripted exploration of an idea. And that's what I think has been starting to erode, is that you couldn't pass NAFTA today. You couldn't say, you know, free trade is in the best interests of all Americans, because it's not true. Everybody always knew it wasn't true. Was never true. There was no point in time when that was true. And the idea that you could push an idea like that through because everybody agreed to say, well, you know, privately, I know that it's only true that it's better for everyone if we tax the hell out of the winners to pay the losers, and we're never going to do that. So, you know, it was a lie based around a hidden program that was never going to happen. And you had essentially 100% participation by the economics community, lying about immigration, lying about trade, and lying about our finances.
So who has a microphone now or a platform that is able to exercise blocks or balances even to not let things happen that aren't right? Like now the top's been blown off, right? Podcasts, everyone's got a platform to stand on.
But you can ignore people. This is the interesting thing. The gated institutional narrative can't shut down the information anymore. But, you know, for 20 plus years, I've had a paper on the internet currently available from the Institute for New Economic Thinking about how the National Academy of Sciences and the National Science Foundation effectively conspired to pass the Immigration Act of 1990 with provisions to make it impossible for Americans to get market salaries using immigration as the tool. And I'm waiting for the first person to say Eric is completely full of it, because that'll start a fight, and they don't want to start the fight because they know it's true. So I can come on these shows. I can say, to check out this paper called How and Why Government, University, and Industry Create Labor Shortage of High-Skilled Professionals. And everyone will read the paper. The reporters will say, this is a great story. Can I break it? And then it always dies.
Who's killing it?
We don't know.
Higher ups, managers. If you're listening to this right now and you're at an economic publication.
Pull it up. How and why government, university, and industry.
Got it.
Why are you not talking about this?
Don't know.
Why are you not, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, why are we not talking about this?
University.
Whether it's right or
how
wrong.
How and why government, university, and industry.
In the industry?
Government, university, and industry.
And industry.
And then put in labor shortages and see what comes up. It'll come up from
labor.
He's in troubling territory.
But this is like really interesting because.
Oh.
Perfect.
I know how to search.
Yep. There we go.
Eric R. Weinstein, PhD.
Okay. So what I'm claiming is that this goes through the allegation that our scientific complex got together behind closed doors without anybody knowing and effectively conspired to cut off the ability of Americans to bargain for market wages using immigration as a tool. And this is what gave us the H-1B visa.
Can you explain to people that are watching this right now what market wages are?
Well, whatever the price is that is necessary in order to get you to take a job. Like, you know, this fine gentleman over here, he could be a waiter. On the other hand, he could be a stock analyst. And, you know, the key question is, if I think that he should become a stock analyst for a little bit more than the wages of a waiter, he's going to tell me, I'm not going to take your job. Right. And so he won't accept the offer because the offer is too low. Well, the problem was that these people wanted to pay terrible wages to American scientists because they'd gotten used to the idea that American scientists would give up their youth for a career afterwards, right? And so people would contribute lots of labor early on, like interns, postdocs, what have you. And what these guys figured out was that you could use people coming from lower wage countries to take these jobs and put pressure on Americans so that they couldn't bargain for wages. And
I'm wondering how long this took you to write. This is really, really detailed, really long, really in depth.
Yep.
And if you know that the response is going to be kind of like nil to this, how come you do it?
Well, I mean, I've been astounded, right? Like I've been talking about this for decades. And I do it in high profile places. I presented this at the National Academy of Sciences, like the nation's top scientific organization. I got a standing ovation, which was unheard of for this work. And then when people started talking about what happened, they completely omitted the fact that there was a bombshell revelation in the meeting. So my belief about this is that the people who know that this has to be suppressed understand that the best thing to do is to not engage it. Just pretend it's not there.
So I walk out of that meeting. Yeah. I say, Weinstein just dropped a fucking bombshell on the crowd.
Thank you.
Am going to go call the New York Times, put this shit in layman's terms, and we're going to blow this thing up. What happens? I make that phone call. Do I get a phone call back that says, hey, Jimmy,
I noticed that
you just signed your daughter up for school. Would you like her to make it to her first day? What
just happened to me with the San Jose Mercury News.
Yep.
It's like, this is amazing. I want to do a piece on this. I said, yeah, I understand. And you're going to call me back in 3 weeks and you're going to say, oh, I really want to do that, but my editor just said it wasn't right. Wasn't a good look. It's like, what do you mean good look?
So what is happening?
Let's just take the concept of labor shortage. Do you believe that long-term labor shortages occur in market economies? Yes or no? I say no. It's a very simple statement. Long-term labor shortages do not occur in market economies, right? Very simple, because the wage level can rise to fill any labor shortage.
Right.
All right. Why are we talking about tech employers facing labor shortages? Are we morons? Do we think that we're in a communist command and control economy? I have no idea. I have no idea why anybody who's self-respecting would say, you know, the problem with tech is that we're experiencing a long-term labor shortage in STEM occupation. No we're not. Every smart person knows that we're not. It's total.
So are there skilled STEM, you know, scientists or workers or laborers right now that are looking for a job in Silicon Valley?
There are tons,
and they're not able to get them.
Tons of STEM people,
and they're not able to get them because the jobs are not offering enough incentive to do so, or what's
well, first of all, it's not just Silicon Valley, right? Like, right. I mean, if you know, the guy who
Cleveland,
developed
whatever, yeah,
the guy who developed put in the GFP bunnies.
Oh, these sound cool.
Is it related to the Swedish fish?
Yeah, sort of.
GFP
bunnies.
I put a D. Is that going to be a problem?
No, yes.
Those are like the little bunnies that do backflips at the toy store.
A P is an upside down D. All right, what is this? Okay. Green fluorescent protein.
Yeah. So give me like video. Give me video for this.
Okay. Here we go.
Turkish scientists genetically. Yeah, there we go.
Modify bunnies to glow green.
That's what we need. You guys,
Wait, hold on. This is awesome, though. Imagine all the things you could do with a glow in the dark bunny.
May I say something else?
Yeah.
Of course.
I don't think Jake knows about GFP bunnies.
Oh shit! This is gonna be sick. Oh, yeah, right? Sick clickbait.
So they actually just use this same.
Okay, so these are glow in the dark bunnies, right?
Whoa!
And they took this GFP protein out of jellyfish,
yeah,
and they fused it into mammalian genetics to create these guys. Now, the guy who was instrumental in developing GFP was a guy named Doug Prasher.
Wow!
And his postdoc came to an end and he couldn't get any funding. So he turned over all of his research to permanent scientists because he was like having trouble coming up the system. And he started driving a shuttle bus in Huntsville, Alabama for like $35,000 a year. And meanwhile, his team gets the Nobel Prize for GFP because let's be honest, this is pretty awesome.
Well, yeah.
It's okay. So the New York Times.
If you ever lost your bunny in the dark.
Yeah. Why is this important?
Why is this important? Yeah. Because you can tag anything with something that will phosphoresce. And if you target it, it's like, it's cool to do bunnies. Cause I just think glow in the dark.
Yeah. They're great.
That's great.
They're awesome.
But you could also get, for example, the particular neurons that are active in a C. elegans worm, maybe to fluoresce. So you can see how the brain is working. Mm.
They use this same technology recently in the new Yeezys that just came out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that. They are actually able to glow in the
GFP.
Dark. GFP Yeezys.
Okay. So
did you see those? Why are you looking at me like that? Did I do something wrong to harm
you
in some way? No, I'm not serious at all.
But just to close the loop on the other thing.
They are actually glow in the dark. Yeah,
they
do, I just don't think it's this GFP.
It was not GFP proteins.
I don't know. But what I was going to get at was that the guy who was profiled in the New York Times as he should have won the Nobel Prize. I called him up a year afterwards and I said, what are you doing? He's like, I'm still driving a shuttle bus. It's are you kidding me? Like, the New York Times profiles you and says you were deserving of a Nobel Prize. And a year later, after the entire world sees that you got shafted, no institution is aggressive enough that they want to say, how about you take $50,000 and come work for us? We're out of our minds. We're throwing away scientists. We're discarding these people that we train because we're in this crazy game of trying to get all the young people to contribute their labor for free. Right? Think about all your friends with internships.
So many.
Right? Why? Yeah.
I should start doing that.
It's the only way.
Well, people are going to fall for it. I could really save a lot of money.
You know how many interns have reached out to me and Logan directly and said, I'll shoot for absolutely free. I just want to be, I want to learn.
You're right.
There have probably even been interns that have said, hey, like, I'm equally as funny as Mike.
So
you don't have to pay me. And
yeah.
I mean, you could fire me right now and guy will just come sit here for free.
The economy works when you say, if you don't pay me, I'm walking. Mm. And by the way, I'm kind of pissed off that you didn't come up with a more aggressive offer. So I've taken what was on the table before, and I'm going to raise it 7% above that. And if you don't like it, I'm out of here. What's it going to be? When you have that kind of power, that's when wages go up. Mm. Now, if you don't have that kind of power, because your boss says, don't let the door hit you on your way out.
Which is always the case.
Which is frequently the case.
Now,
it's not always the case.
Smart employers don't do that.
Well, and if you're a super, if you're a super high performer, I have no doubt that you know, I don't know, Billie Eilish can.
Oh, for sure.
Can negotiate a great deal, but that's a very particular talent and skill, you know? Mm-hmm.
So do you think that what you've detailed in your report, is this suppression of scientists? What are they doing with those wages? Have the money to give higher wages, but what are they doing with that money?
Well, I don't think that they have a lot of money. Like the whole reason that we, coming back to Bernie and the debt forgiveness, is that we don't have any plan to keep these universities open. We have a huge number of research institutions, and they're depending on young people to contribute their labor speculatively so that they may one day have a job in the future, right? That was the old system. Yep. And now you know that you don't have a future. You're not going to contribute your labor in your youth. You're going to say, I'm out of here. I'm going to Tulum. You know, yeah.
Or Mykonos.
Or what? Yeah.
Great places.
Yeah.
They really are.
What's that producer saying?
Oh, he's saying we got 2 minutes, which actually is a good out because there's some things I want to talk about on the audio only. It's basically this, but it's audio only.
Okay.
So, yo, Eric, thank you for coming on Impulsive, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. You're blessing us with knowledge. You're the most smartest guy I know, and really appreciate you. They can find you on social media. I'm looking here, Eric R. Weinstein.
And I think it's important to know that I am starting a podcast called The Portal.
Saw that.
Yeah. Let's hear it. And the idea is the portal is the search for a way out of these issues and problems to a better world. Think about like Alice in the Looking Glass or the Rabbit Hole or the Phantom Toll Booth. There's got to be some way out through the portal to get to a better place. And that's what it's going to be about.
I love it. Oof. Where can they find it? When is that going to be live?
I think it's coming up in July when we've just recorded our first episode. Can't talk more about it, but okay. We're going to get a few more in the can. And hopefully we're going to hit our stride.
Okay, great, nice. Great. You guys heard it here first. We're going iTunes only, iTunes audio only, iTunes Spotify audio only, right now on Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening. Hit that button. Here we are. I want to ask you about religion.
Yeah.
Are you religious?
Well, I mean, I'm an atheist, but I go to synagogue.
Why?
Why? Because I do prayers on Friday night because it's you want to keep...
optics?
No,
this confuses me. This isn't.
Wait, so you think it's all about belief?
I don't know. Enlighten me.
No, I don't know. I mean, I let the spirit move me. It doesn't mean that it confuses me. But, you know, why do you go to a movie?
I like movies. Yeah, I'm going in an hour to a movie.
Okay, so what movie are you going to go see?
It's Midsommar, it's called.
Okay. Now, there's probably going to be a narrative arc. There's going to be love interest. Yep. There's going to be, you know, daring do.
Oh, yeah.
But you know that none of that stuff's real. It's just photons in a wall. And yet you go. Why?
Entertainment.
Yeah. Okay. So the idea is that I'm going for some sort of spiritual meaning. I've got two gorgeous kids. I want to keep my family together. The world is coming apart. And I happen to have access to a religion that's been around for more than 5,000 years and has been helping people who have believed in that religion make great scientific discoveries like nobody else's business. You think I'm going to give this up because I don't think there's a bearded dude on a cloud? There's no way.
Wait. I'm confused. Is anyone else confused? Is this just me?
I'm not at all.
I really want to flesh this out because the religion's super interesting to me. So being an atheist doesn't necessarily mean you don't practice religion.
Well, I mean, if the question is, will I say prayers? Will I observe rituals?
Yeah,
what
are you doing when you go to the synagogue on Fridays?
Well, in general, mostly I go Saturday mornings. I listen to the voices and the music. Some of the greatest music takes place in my synagogue, the kitchen in San Francisco. The teachings of my rabbi are fantastic. I disagree with her on so many things, but Rabbi Noah Kushner is an amazing teacher, and she stimulates me, and I appreciate hanging out with my community, my friends, and being part of something greater than myself.
When you go see the movie later that you're going to see, I think the point he's making or the analogy he's making is, what if the movie is sheer fiction? Nothing you're watching on the screen is real. You know that. They're traveling around on a
flight. Oh, so it amuses you.
Yes.
Religion amuses you.
Or acts as a form of discipline.
I find that somewhat sacrilegious, Mr. Logan.
Yo.
Yo,
no face, no case.
You're just getting duped.
I don't know what he's saying. The answer could very well be yes, but am I a fucking moron?
No, because I don't know what you're saying. When you watch, this is what he's saying, not me, because you guys know I love JC.
He loves Jesus.
But what he's saying is, if you're watching a piece of fiction, you don't need to believe the fiction to enjoy the movie.
Wait, so you're Christian?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not Christian. Gosh. I don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior.
That's fine.
But that...
We're still homies.
But that, yeah. But that voice has so much wisdom in it. Are you imagining that I need to believe in the Immaculate Birth and the resurrection in order to, how much crazy good stuff did this guy say?
Okay, so I'm saying you agree with the pillars of religion and what the intent of religion is for people?
No.
But okay, well, fuck.
Can I try another analogy? Well,
so
Eric,
first
tell
off,
me,
atheism is the you don't believe in God, right?
For sure. Or
in gods.
I'll tell you what it is right now. Atheism is the disbelief or lack of belief in the existence of gods. Yeah, it's what you just said, man.
Yeah.
That's good. That's fine.
So
good. We have full definition.
So you're going there for the value and for the messaging, but you're not buying.
I'm going there
for
the spirituality. I'm going there to be uplifted. I'm going there for the same reasons you're probably going there. Are you absolutely sure that a bunch of stuff that you did not witness absolutely happened? No, you're not sure. You vacillate sometimes, right?
I'll be honest with you. One of the reasons I go, okay, is because do you know what happens if you're wrong?
Yeah.
No, please.
No. I got to tell you, Eric. I'm sorry. I wish I got to tell you on the video version because I don't think there's many listeners or our viewers.
Testify.
That you will go to a place where...
No, not like this.
Hitler will shove pineapples up your ass. Every single day.
Don't do it.
I'm sorry to tell you this, Eric.
Yeah.
You can't be wrong about this shit. Okay? And so I got to hang out with my boy JC because he's going to keep me out of that dark place, that sunken place.
So you're absolutely positive that particular version is the right version?
The pineapples or the Lord on the Savior on the cross?
You know, my point to you is you're not absolutely sure. That's one of the reasons you're so adamant with me, because you think that that's a possibility and you're hoping that you bet on the right horse. But if I told you that I have two separate books, right, and that book A says everything in here is true and book B is wrong, and book B says everything here true is book A is wrong, and the books are otherwise identical, you have no means of figuring out which of these is the correct book.
Facts. To another good example, other than a fictional movie, that I would bring up to make it a little bit easier for you to understand is people who are not addicts or alcoholics that go to AA and NA meetings.
Yeah.
So you're like, they're talking the whole meeting about how to not use again. And somebody's like, I've never done a drug in my life. Why am I here? Because there's a great message. There's an uplifting spirituality that exists in the 12 step.
Dependency is generic.
Right.
Mm. There you go.
And so how are we? We can't talk about Kyle Kashuv. I wanted to talk about Kyle Kashuv. Do we not have time to talk about that? He's got it. All right. So
I have to go back. Maybe you guys can.
I wanted to talk about the two. You're blending the two worlds of physics together, right? The two disciplines.
Can you guys talk about it?
Yeah, I have to mob out.
Or maybe that's for your podcast.
No,
maybe we tune in over there.
I'd actually like you guys to close.
Go ahead.
By the way, guys, I'm gonna move to this fair city of yours. So it'd be great to see you at any other future point. We can continue whenever you like.
Yeah.
Hey, very true.
Let's do that. That'd be awesome. That's fine.
Part two.
One mistake. I'm gonna shake your hand, Eric. I gotta go.
Thank you, guys. Of course. It's been amazing.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Wait. Are we signing off?
Yeah, we can. That's fine. He said another time. That's fine.
All right. Here we go. Eric, thank you, brother. Eric R. Weinstein on Instagram.
Thank you.
Red is 5 stars or you're going to hell. Bye.
Pineapples.
Traffic jams. Tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.